every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Well, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, which is that main perfect gift that came down from God in heaven. And aren't you glad this morning that Jesus is, he is in the saving business? Aren't you glad he came, he bled, he died for us? And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a blessing this morning it is to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. And so good to be here this morning. And happy, merry Christmas Eve to you. And so I want to cover all the grounds there. But tomorrow will be Christmas. I hope everybody will just have a great day tomorrow. But we are here on Christmas Eve, and we have a good service lined up for you today. And so I hope you enjoy it this morning. I do want to mention a few things before we receive our tithe. We will have the Christmas offering here in just a bit, and Miss Amanda's going to sing for that. This will be our second Sunday of doing that, and so please remember that. But men, go ahead. Come on down, and you can have your places as we mention these things. Good to see Brother Ceylon and Sister Catherine back with us this morning, and being gone for a little while, and had their bout with the sickness and COVID and all, and they're back. So good to have them back. And Miss Shirley is not here, but she is doing better the last I heard, and so we praise the Lord for that. But there are still others who are sick and getting better. Brother Larry's here this morning, and made it through his operation on Wednesday, and stayed the night at the hospital, VA, but he got home, and he's here, and so we praise the Lord for that, the Lord seeing Brother Larry through, and continue to pray for you in your recovery process for sure on that. Let's continue to remember Brother Don Rich. He had his heart cath on Monday, and you know, this is one of those things where you praise the Lord for the good report on the heart cath, but you still have questions, you know, as to why or what is going on inside your body. And so please remember the Riches as they continue to make doctor visits and phone calls and trying to find out what's going on with their situation, and remember him on that. Continue to remember Miss Claudia in your prayers as she goes through her doctor visits trying to keep cancer back. She does not have cancer, but they're trying to do precautionary things to keep it back and to keep it clear. So remember that. Also, our friend Ricky, remember him and his battle with cancer, and that God will continue to touch him and use doctors to help him get better. Also, Rebecca Ashworth, she's going to have eye surgery on Wednesday, and I believe it's the retina that is coming detached. And Miss Rebecca needs our prayers, if you remember her when you pray. Again, just remember all the prayer requests on a prayer sheet. Grab a bulletin. We stressed the other Sunday of all the work that goes into this little piece of paper. But if you would please pick one up, that would be great. Also, it can be viewed on our webpage. And so remember that as well. I do want to say no service tonight. Everybody get home and get ready for the big day. Yes, I will be doing some last minute shopping this afternoon. Don't judge me. And hey, I kind of like it, you know, I kind of like it. But anyway, so remember that, no service tonight, no midweek service this coming up week for Christmas week. Looking ahead a little bit, next Sunday morning will be our New Year's Eve service, AM only, no PM. And also, we're following suit as to what we did last year. We're also omitting the midweek service of New Year's week. And we're going to come back the first Sunday in January to start the new year. That morning, the 7th, we'll have service. But that night on the 7th, we're going to have Brother Bo Spriggs coming and preaching for us that night. And Dakota Lee, all from Grace Baptist Church, they'll be here on that night. It's going to be a wonderful time there in January. I don't have any instructions yet, but they will be announced. So we want to try at least do one outreach a month. If we can do that, if it's knocking on doors, if it's handing out bottled waters on the Silver Comet, that's what we're going to do. Even if it's just me out there doing it, we're going to do it. I don't want to be guilty of not fulfilling the Great Commission here in this local church. We are going to do that, so I pray that you'll surround me and help me do that. So remember that. That's to be announced. Also, in February, we have a special guest coming. Anybody guess who that might be? There's no way you could guess. There's a lot of guesses. It could be. We're going to have an Atlanta Braves come player and speak to us on a Sunday morning. Otis Nixon's going to be here. And so bring your cards, bring your gear, bring your Sharpies, get some autographs. But he has an amazing story, and so he's going to be with us in February. And then March is Jubilee time. And so we're at least covered all the way through March and looking forward to our New Year's start, and I hope you are as well. Don't forget to collect your Christmas cards on the table as the service comes to a conclusion today. And also I want to thank the choir, starting with Brother Allen, our musicians, all that took part in our Emmanuel God is with us presentation last Sunday. And also the Hot Pocket group that came, and that was wonderful. And so God has blessed us real good, and we just want to be a blessing back to Him. All right, well, let's pray, and this will be our tithes time, with the offering plate going around for tithes only, and then we'll have our Christmas offering and a song or two later. Father, we love you today. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. We thank you for every good gift. We know who it comes from. We know who our source is this morning. And so, Father, we just thank you for being our source, Aries. Father, we just help us, Lord, to slow down a bit this morning. Just relax into the service. God, I know you want to do a lot this morning, this Christmas Eve service. And so, therefore, we thank you for the song that Lily brought. But we also, Lord, I just pray that you would use them, Lord, to minister to us. And when it comes time to preach your word, God, I don't want to just preach a message and go home. God, it is in my soul and in my heart to lift you up, Lord. Lift you up. I want to lift you up. And Lord, we know when you're high and lifted up, you'll draw all men. So I pray that somebody be saved today. I pray that a Christian will be encouraged today. Lord, we just want to give you credit for everything that's said and done today. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. band is going to sing, excuse me, if you didn't have opportunity on last Sunday to bring forth your Christmas offering, and if you'd like to do that this morning, please feel free to come down. I guess, guys, you go ahead and bring the plates down and have them sitting down front, and same situation. It's very special to be able to walk it down, so if you have one you'd like to give it this morning while Miss Amanda sings, then you please do so. We have our ladies coming around to sing one for us, and then we'll be bringing the message this morning. You pray for them.
Isn't it said it best? The world, they're not offended by the baby Jesus. When we talk about Jesus as our Savior and the cross, they're offended. The world sees a baby in a manger filled with hay. Oh, but we see a Savior who washed our sins away. That's why we praise Him. That's why we love Him. That's why we adore Him. don't understand why we celebrate this day. They wondered why we worship every time we speak his name. When we sing, come all ye faithful, let us adore the King. We are looking past the stable to a hill called Calvary. That's why we adore him. That's why we give him.
Praise the Lord this morning. Appreciate the good singing, all the time and effort put into the practices leading up to this point with these songs, the ladies group, and Lily Songs and the Martin Girls. We appreciate the good songs this morning. I want to say how much I enjoyed Wednesday night over at Calvary Children's Home and the group that was there. And if you missed that, you have missed a blessing. And did y'all enjoy that Wednesday night over at CCH? I'll tell you right now, one of the young ladies not only quoted every book in the Bible, but gave the context of every book of the Bible. And I wish I knew names better than I do with them, but just very, very touching, the singing, everything they did. Just praise the Lord for that. That was awesome. One thing stood out to me that night. It was a phrase. It was the manger throne. The manger throne. In one of those songs, Jesus was born and laid in his manger throne. And so there's a message being brewed on that. And you'll hear it soon, I'm sure. Isaiah chapter number 9. This morning, Isaiah chapter number 9, and as many of you know, we have been elected as the Church of the Month on WDCY Radio or WCB Radio, and so we've been on every Wednesday at 12 o'clock, 1500 a.m., 1520 a.m., and they've been giving us a 30-minute time frame, and so our messages have been on that live from pre-recorded services on the radio, and I believe this is going to be the last one that will be aired next Wednesday. So if you hadn't had an opportunity to hear us on radio, it'd be a great opportunity to do that. Just something to be proud of, that our church has been highlighted, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that ministry. All right, Isaiah chapter number 9 this morning. Can't think of a better verse to share at Christmas time than Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6. One of my favorite verses that I share around Christmas time. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6, Isaiah 9, verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This verse this morning is a prophetic verse concerning the coming Messiah. While judgment was coming upon Israel in Isaiah's day, Isaiah was pointing to a day when peace would come to earth, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So Isaiah, he gives five names that were characteristic of this coming Messiah in this verse. He says the name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I want to use the phrase in this verse, "His name shall be called," as my title this morning. So the title is, "His name shall be called." His name shall be called. And I want to look into these names and make application to our lives, if I could. And I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to all of us as I share it this morning. But first, I want you to notice something. Notice the word "for" in verse number 6. He says, For unto us a child is born." This word is connected to what's been said prior to. In verse number 1 down through verse number 5, Isaiah prophesies and he speaks of a light that would light up the night. Talks about this light coming and lighting up darkness. So Isaiah says, the light is coming. For, meaning this is the grounds and confidence of that prophecy coming true. Talks about the light coming, lighting up the night. For, unto us a child is born. This is the grounds by which that prophecy comes to pass. Because there would come a time and day that the babe would be born and he would become that light and he would shine in darkness. So the light of the world is coming, but he would first be born among us, is what he's telling us here. Second, notice the word us. He says, for unto us a child is born. Us, he's speaking to the Jewish people, but also us, he's speaking to all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad for the us's in the Bible, ain't you? Glad for the us's in the Bible. Number three, I want you to notice in this verse, he says, for unto us a child is born. Well, the child wasn't born then. The child was yet to be born. So this is further confirmation of this prophecy of the coming Messiah. He says, for unto us a child is born. Futuristic. Number four, notice the words is given. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Salvation this morning is not earned. Salvation is received this morning. There is nothing good enough that we can do to earn or merit the salvation of Jesus. It is the free gift of God. And so this morning we see, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The Bible also says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, which just simply means that he will rule and reign. And so for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. So this morning, let's get into these names and look at the characteristics that Isaiah begins to describe this babe, this Messiah. And these characteristics is who he is and who he shall be and when it comes to this prophecy being fulfilled as it is already fulfilled. Five names this morning. The first name is Wonderful. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Let me ask a question this morning. What would be your estimation of Jesus? Is he wonderful to you? Whether he's wonderful to some or not, does it change the fact that his name is called Wonderful? To some this morning, he may not be rendered wonderful because of some setback you're experiencing in life. To some, his name may not be wonderful because of some heartache that you're going through. Something beyond the control of an individual. And so there's some this morning that are mad at God. There's some this morning who blame God. And so to some this morning, he is not wonderful, but whether, and it does not matter what a person feels, if they say he's not wonderful, it doesn't change the fact that he is wonderful, because the Bible says he's wonderful. But this morning, if we were all to stand back and get a clear view of our life, we would have to say there's been some good times too. too. God has allowed some good things to roll your way. God has allowed some good things to roll my way. God has blessed you, and God has blessed me, and neither one of us had anything to do with it. Sometimes we get so far in the forest, all we see is the struggles, the heartaches, and the pain, and he may not seem wonderful at the time, but if you stand back and get a clear view of God and his goodness, you'd have to say he's wonderful. We would have to confirm that his name is called Wonderful. What does the word wonderful actually mean? The word wonderful here, it means miracle. It means marvelous thing. So the Lord this morning is wonderful. He's marvelous, or he's miraculous. First of all, he had a miraculous birth. And this was labeled by many as impossible. I wonder this morning if there's been anybody going through any trials, any hardship, or maybe you could give testimony of times gone by that you were in an impossible situation. Back against the wall. No money in the bank. But yet God, because he is wonderful, he performed a miracle and he allowed the impossible to become possible. Praise the Lord this morning for our wonderful Savior. He is miraculous. He had a miraculous birth, the thing that was labeled impossible. We serve a God this morning that is a possible God. Not only he had a miraculous birth, but he had a miraculous life. He performed miracles and he healed people. He healed the sick and he raised the dead and he did all the, caused blinded eyes to see. He performed miracles. He's wonderful this morning for the miraculous life that he lived. And can I say that he's still the miracle worker this morning? We have prayed for some who went in to have heart tests and we are three for three on heart catheterization procedures where the patients, our church members, didn't have to have a stent. I'm not saying it had anything to do with us. It had absolutely nothing to do with us other than us saying, God, would you touch them? Three for three. God has also touched some who's had cancer as of late. Miss Claudia Darby, she's at home right now. God is a miracle worker. Not just in Bible days, but our days. He is still performing miracles. He's wonderful this morning because of that. Not only he had a miraculous birth, but he had a miraculous life, but also he had a miraculous death. You say, why was his death so miraculous? I'll tell you why. Because he is the only one that I know of that would give his best for the very worst. I would not give my daughter for the sins of the world, would you? I'm sorry, that would just blow everybody their plans to pot. But I would not give my one and only daughter for the life of humanity. But Jesus went to the cross. God deposited himself in a virgin womb. And he lived a perfect sinless life, performed miracles, and died a very vicarious death on the cross. No one would give their child to do that, but God did. It is a miraculous death because he gave his life for mine. It was a miraculous death because he gave his life for your life. What a blessing about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he gave his life for ours. He had a miraculous death, but he had a miraculous resurrection as well. He arose. He arose. Christ Jesus arose up from the grave. He arose, triumphing over his foes. What a blessing it is to serve a risen Savior, one who was alive, not Buddha, not Confucius, not Muhammad, none of the rest, none of those, but their bones are in the grave. If you would travel to the graveyards and cemeteries of this world, you would see Buddha wherever he's at, you'd see Muhammad wherever he's at. But if you travel to Jesus' tomb, he wouldn't be in there because he's alive. Let me just take a breather and give you a little story. I went to pump some gas at my favorite gas station the other morning, the Grand's gas station, because they serve biscuits all day. Okay, Meatloaf Mondays. But I was pumping gas. This hasn't happened to me, Ceylon, in a long time. But I was pumping gas, and I heard someone say, "Excuse me, sir. Sir." I said, "Yes." And I knew exactly what it was. She caught me off guard. It was a Jehovah's Witness. And she tried to witness to me. And back in my early salvation days, I would lock horns, and I mean, I would just, you know, if you don't get saved, you won't burn in hell. And which is the truth. So I try to be a little more tactful this time. Took a deep breath, let it out. She said, "Hey, can I give you this watchtower track?" It says JW on there. I knew exactly what it was. I said, "I'm a pastor, but," you know, and I didn't say nothing. I said, "But." She said, "Well, here, you take this." And she began to say, "Well, pastor, you know, having congregants, that, you know, money's not the answer to everything. And, you know, people are trying to make money the object of their life." And she just rambled on about stuff like that. And so I was nice and all. And I said, "Yeah, I'll take it." And she walked off, ripped it up, threw it in a garbage can, of course. It's been a long time since that's happened. And, of course, afterwards, I was thinking about things that I should have said and wanted to say. I don't know why I didn't think to say Merry Christmas to her. They don't believe in Christmas. I don't know why I didn't think to say that. But nonetheless, the Jehovah Witnesses have a false religion. They have a false concept of the afterlife and how to get means of heaven, or they call paradise, and all of those things. But they have it wrong. The Mormons have it wrong. And I stand up this morning and boldly say they all have it wrong and we have it right. You say, "Well, they say they have it right." Well, I say we have it right based upon the Word of God and what the Bible says, not being changed by Joseph Smith, not being changed by all these other writers because it don't fit their ideology. But no, we have it right in the Word of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Savior. And so we see that that He arose. He arose. I wonder this morning if anybody needs any resurrection power in your daily walk. You know, before there can be a resurrection, there has to be a death. And so how you get resurrection power in your daily walk, not only is by accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but it's through dying daily you experience the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. And so we see that there. He had a miraculous resurrection, and then, praise the Lord, one day we see His return will be miraculous. We will disappear. Did you know you're going to disappear one or two ways? You're either going to disappear one day and go by the way of the grave, or you're going to disappear and go up in the rapture if you're saved. Someone say, "Oh, rapture. This is some kind of Hollywood movie." No, it's not some Hollywood movie. It's reality. If all those prophecies in the Old Testament were fulfilled, and Jesus came and He did, and Jesus bled and died and He did, and if Jesus arose and He did, listen, He is a promise keeper. He's coming back one day. And so His return will be miraculous. We will disappear either by grave or rapture. So this morning we see that His name is called Wonderful. Let's look at another name. Not only Wonderful, but Counselor. Wonderful. And His name shall be called Wonderful, and then Counselor. Counselor means to advise. It means to resolve, to counsel. This word, counselor, is a distinct attribute. It denotes one of honorable rank. Listen to this. One who is suited to stand near princes and kings as their advisor. This morning we have a counselor. One who comes to our side, who stands near to advise us. Can I say, first of all, he counsels the unbeliever. In Isaiah 1:18, don't turn there, I'll just give it to you. The Bible says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We have a counselor that counsels the unbeliever. But not only he counsels the unbeliever, but he counsels the believer. He advises the believer. He reasons with the believer, tries to work a resolve with the believer. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He wants us to cast our cares on him because he cares what we care about. And the Bible says, all. You're saying this morning, well, I can't give them this because it's, you know, I'm probably the only one going through this, or it's so unique and different that, you know, I just can't give it to them. The Bible says, all. Anything you're going through, any worry, any care, any anxiety you don't want to share, God wants you to cast it on him because he's our counselor. He has a way of reasoning with us. Hebrews 4:15 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. It talks about, let us come boldly into the throne room of grace, that we may be able to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. This morning he is counselor. Let me mention another one. Not only Isaiah says his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor. Y'all just hang in there with me. We ain't got much longer to go. The Mighty God. Mighty means powerful. It means warrior. Valiant man. Did you know we have a mighty God this morning? I thought I ought to say that. That we're here because we serve a mighty God. You know, we're not here to catch up on sleep. We're not here to think about Christmas tomorrow. We're here to serve a mighty God. To worship a mighty God. We have a mighty God this morning. And this describes his divine nature. He's mighty to save the lost. He's mighty to sustain the saved. He's our warrior. He's our hero. Listen to this. He is the ultimate first responder. He saves from fires. He resuscitates the dying. He's the ultimate 911 operator. Jesus, help me. He is our pastor. He is our shepherd. He is our friend. Listen, Jesus, the mighty God, he is at every funeral you go to. He is at every celebration. He is the unseen, quiet guest at every home on every day. This is the mighty God. The Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we serve a mighty God. I'm thankful we have a mighty God. I'm thankful we have a counselor. I'm thankful that he's wonderful. Two more. Isaiah goes on and he says, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. If you hadn't heard anything else, hear this point. This morning, please. Everlasting means eternal. Lasting forever. He is the Father of the future. I like this one. He's the perpetual parent. If you don't know by now, I like words that rhyme. He is the Father of the future. He's the perpetual parent. He is the forever Father. Thank God we have a forever home. Psalm 27:10 says this, When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Did you know there's people who have grown up in broken homes? There's people who've grown up who've been abandoned by parents and who have went on to live amazing lives, getting things done for God and giving Him glory. And it all comes down to being abandoned by parents and picked up by God. I'm glad this morning that God picks up the abandoned. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord has adopted us as His children. Do you know one special thing about adoption among many? You ready for it? Adoption means you are handpicked. You are handpicked. Born in a family, I mean, it just happens. But when you're adopted, that means through circumstances and situations in a parent's life, they could not continue being that parent. And so now they're positioned for adoption. And people who adopt, they come by and they handpick. I want that one. I want that one. And what's so wonderful this morning about being adopted by God is that Justin Hales was handpicked by God. Give me that stinky one. Give me that boy that's still living with his grandmama and he's a high school dropout. I want him. Give me him. Give me that one who loves fighting and drinking and cussing. I want him. Give me him. I'm so glad this morning that not only God handpicked me, but if you're saved, He handpicked you, and He wants to save the whole world, but people don't choose Him as He chooses them. Many are called and few are chosen. You say, who are the chosen? Those who answer the call. Many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen are those who answer the call, say yes to Jesus. Adoption is so special and wonderful. We are adopted into the family of God. We have a perpetual parent. We have a forever father, a future home. This morning He is the everlasting Father, lasting forever. He's eternal. That's our parent. We will never be parentless, homeless, or poor. Listen, while we have this permanent parent watching after us. This doesn't mean we won't experience hunger at times. This doesn't mean we won't have to hunt for a home at times, but in life it just means Jesus will provide because He's our Father. Psalm 37 verse 25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's the everlasting Father this morning. He always was, always is, and always will be. Aren't you glad we have an everlasting Father? One that's not going to desert us or abandon us. Last one and we'll be done. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. A prince is a son of a king. He is born a prince. His father being king. But he's not just any prince, but he's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the author of peace, as the devil is the author of confusion. He brought peace on earth when he was born. We experience peace in our hearts when we accept Jesus into our hearts. This peace we have in salvation isn't dependent on circumstances. For in the hardest situations of life, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is always present. Aren't you glad that we have a Prince who is the Prince of Peace always abiding in our hearts? Come what may, we will be okay. So we see that there. This doesn't mean we won't feel life. It just means we will make it. Since we met the Prince of Peace, we are to be peacemakers, not peace takers. Do you know that? We are to be boat rowers, not boat rockers. If we have the Prince of Peace living within us, we need to exhibit peace. We need to live peaceably with all men as much life within us. We are to be peaceable people. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. You want to know a child of God when you see one? They're a peaceable person. They're not a person who is dramatic. Oh, just let me don't get on now on Christmas Eve. A Christian should not be a person of drama, a person of gossip, a person of backbiting. A Christian should not be a peace taker, he should be a peacemaker. So if we met the peacemaker, then we ought to speak peace. So we are to not only be peacemakers and not peace takers, but we're to let peace rule in our hearts. That word rule, of course, I believe it comes out of Colossians. That word rule, let the peace of God rule in your heart. It means to umpire, call the shots, guide or direct. You ever heard somebody say, okay, you're praying about that. Let me ask you, do you have peace about it? And that just simply means that if you've prayed about something and you're asking God to direct your steps and you have peace about it, then you know what the will of God is. He says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it guide your life, direct your steps, call the shots. And as they come this morning, I'll leave you with this. We have peace with God through our Prince, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the peace of God, but we have peace with God. We are no longer an enemy of the cross. There is no longer a middle wall of partition between us. But because of Jesus, we have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. What a blessing this morning to know that we serve a God who is the Prince of all peace. If you're here this morning and you know you're saved, but you're lacking the presence of peace, it can be found this morning. It can be found. You look within, because that's where peace is. If Jesus is in you, that's where you find peace. You find peace in Jesus. You come before Him. You cast your cares upon Him. You abandon your ideas. You abandon the arguments in your head that has led you to this place of anxiety. You abandon your conclusions. You abandon your motives. You abandon everything and come to Jesus and say, Lord, I need peace. And then, and only then, will you be a recipient of that peace practically, is if you abandon those arguments, those dead ends that you struggle with. There has to be a death before resurrection. The Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, Counselor, Wonderful, the Bible says His name is, the Mighty God. Father, we love You today. We thank You for all things. And Father, I just pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, that today will be the day of salvation for them. But maybe if there's someone here that's already saved, but they just need to trust You a little bit more, I pray that You'll make it easy for them to do so. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.